Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jaron Miller, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started. Hey, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 6 of the Redrive. Right here in our home studio in Waterloo, Indiana, Reinhold Tack and Western Wear. And by the way, they came out with a great selection of all their spring wear, men's button-down shirt, short-sleeve shirts, Twisted X shoes, Ariat jeans, you name it. Make sure you check them out, reinholdwesternwear.com, or visit their store here in Waterloo, Indiana. Also, show season is right around the corner, so make sure you check out their selection of cowboy boots and hats to look sharp up there on the wagon. Joining us here in the studio for the first time, making his podcast debut, Mr. Larry Hunsberger, board member, also Mr. Mark Hostetler in-house here, and joining us from the comforts of his home up there in Eastern Ontario, Mr. Kevin Wilson. So what's new in the draft horse world? I know the Madison sale was last week. Horses brought good, I think. Sounds like they had a good sale. Mark, you were there.
Yeah, overall, I'd say the market was pretty steady. maybe the yearlings down a bit compared to what they were Topeka, but still a pretty strong market. I'll just do a little rundown here. The Belgians, the geldings, MGM out of Maine bought a gelding for $18,000 that the Neps from Southern Indiana had consigned. Cletus Schwartz had another gelding consigned that Bob Roby bought for $15,000. That was kind of your top-end Belgian gelding. The Belgian mares, there was one that brought $29,000 that the Drew brothers in Iowa had consigned. Dwayne Miller of Millerview Belgians bought her, another mare, a couple other mares, Agristol store, Bracole mares brought $25,000. I believe one brought $22,000, but the Belgian mare market was very strong. For sure, anything that was bred just sold really, really well. And Perchern-wise, a gelding brought $70,000. Express bought him, a three-year-old colt with a lot of potential. and then the Kaufmans up there in Wisconsin had a reduction sale. How many head did they have there?
I believe there's like 42 head they had there, averaging 42 head, averaging like 10,000. So yeah, it's not bad.
Impressive. One mare brought 40,000. Shining Stars bought her. They sold a stud. I believe he was a three-year-old for 21,000. And he went down to Columbia. And then they also sold a couple King mares. One brought like 27,500. That Darcy Strain bought, and then also another King Mare that brought $25,000. But yeah, I thought overall the sale was strong, and that's just kind of your
prices are staying report. Prices staying steady.
Much nicer facility there than Madison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it was a fairgrounds, a lot of extra space. We parked trucks and things like that. You didn't have to pay to get on the place. You could just drive in, and close by there was motels and stuff too.
So. Yeah, they had nice weather too.
Yeah,
to keep it there.
Really, it was a nice warm, nice little fair.
Great place for vendors and nice barns. So yeah, I would recommend that the sale committee went back there the next year instead of Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Next draft horse sale coming up would be the Seymour draft horse sale, which is June 3rd and through the 5th. June 3rd through the 5th.
Dover would be coming up too.
That's right. Dover is April 22nd, 3rd, 4th, something like that.
I believe National Client sales coming up as well in April.
Yep. So, and the Can-Am sale end of May. So yeah, it's quite a few auctions still coming up, but so no, market's holding good, holding steady. So, there's some new things changing in the Classic Series. Kevin, some regional things that are being changed, kind of fill us in on that if you would.
The board has taken a lot of calls here recently over the last 2 months, I'd say, with some new challenges that are probably coming into all of our members, especially the members in Canada looking to go down to the U.S. to compete. So I did a bunch of reaching out and talking to a lot of Canadian members and talked back to the board. And as a board, we decided that it would be a very good advertising, maybe not so much advertising, but it would be a very good tool to recognize the high point earners in the respective breeds in the different regions. Some of them that might not be able to get to the finals, So we've discussed it in depth, and we're looking at setting three regions in Canada. So the areas that people would compete against most of their colleagues and recognize the high point earners out of that area. So we're going to have an area that's going to go from the Manitoba-Ontario border to Western Canada and to Alberta, British Columbia. And then we're going to have an area that's going to go Ontario and Quebec. And then we're going to have an east area, east region that's going to encompass the Maritimes, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, to try to advertise the Classic Series to a different membership. Maybe give those guys that geographically are not able to hit a lot of shows, to try to give them a chance to have something to compete for other than just trying to qualify to go to the finals. So try to get that competition level up in some different areas to try to get guys to, you know, be able to have some bragging rights in the circuit that which they show. So as a board of directors, we still have to put the finding details to this. But for the most part, I think we have a structure in place that we all kind of agree with. And I think throughout the membership, I think it's going to be a very positive step forward and give those guys like myself included that, you know, geographically attaining a spot in the finals is pretty hard. So it'd give us something else to strive for. And it's just a tool to grow our membership and promote draft horses all across the U.S. and in Canada.
Yeah, I think that's great. Absolutely.
Yeah, something small. And, you know, I think it's more or less bragging rights around the tax stalls at these little county fairs, you know, which is the heart of our industry. You know, we have a lot of guys that travel a big circuit, and we got a lot of guys that travel a small circuit. And it's something that I think we can use together, and we'll do a presentation at the finals to acknowledge these guys that are, you know, out there competing and just give them something to brag about to their buddies at the after the show's done. So that's I think it'll be the board had actually tabled this 2 years ago, and then COVID had hit and things just kind of we lost traction a little bit, didn't know which direction to go with it. But I think now activity moving forward, and this is something that the board of directors initiative that I think will be well received.
No, absolutely. And that would be starting in the next year, starting in what, Labor Day, or when's that?
Yeah.
That year.
Labor Day. Be the 21-22 season.
Yep. So it'd be the 21-22 season after Labor Day. Yep. And then the winners of the region are the regionals, whatever, they would get an invite to the finals, correct? To be recognized?
Just recognized, well, yeah.
Just recognition.
Okay.
You know, so let's say...
I didn't know if in person, if they were, you know...
Yeah, we'd probably extend them an invite to come and join us at the banquet to get their award. But it's more or less a thing where, let's say, the Eastern Canadian guys, if there was two hitches that were neck and neck, and by neck and neck, they might be competing and have 65 or 75 points, you know, far out of the hunt for the actual finals, but yet it gives a little bit of competition drive to those guys to try to get that five or six more points to beat, you know, the neighbor that they showed against, you know. So it's not, there will not be a finals event where they'll compete. We're just going to take a look at the point standings at the end of the year. And if those guys are in that region, well, you know, the highest point getter in that region is going to get a acknowledgement. And in the for the members in the U.S., it's going to be basically the same thing as the finalists, you know. But however, let's say the top placing Belgian hitch decides not to go to the finals, but yet they were the highest placing Belgian hitch throughout the year, they'll get acknowledged as the high point earner for that region, you know. So it's something a little special, I think.
It's basically each region. The high points in each region that don't go to the finals will be recognized. And
yeah.
So, yeah, this is keep the membership more involved. And
the three regions in the state, there's three regions, correct, in the state?
Yes.
Where is the West, Central, and East? Where is that? Where are the Lions, or where are the states?
Ohio and Indiana is the Ohio on East is the Eastern region. Then you go over to, Iowa and Oklahoma. And everything in between is the central, and then everything west of there is the west.
OK. Okay.
That'll be the same as what we have for the CART series, that we have published that. So.
Correct.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to look at the map, just go online at anyclassicseries.com, and it's
and it shows there. What region they would be in. Very good. Awesome. Anything else new? That's definitely exciting and giving people more to work for and look forward to. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and it splits up the areas that people generally compete in, you know. You might have somebody from the West compete in the center or the East compete in the center or whatever. But as a whole, that geographic region, I think, is pretty well dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a great step forward, and I'm kind of looking forward to it myself. I know a lot of the guys up here are too, so.
And if anybody has any questions at all, just feel free to, I'm sure you guys don't mind, just feel free to call Mark or Kevin or Larry or anybody on the board, Kelly, the president. Yeah, if you have any questions, call. I guess Kevin is kind of in charge of this regional thing, maybe. I don't know.
Well, this is the board, but yeah. Kevin brought it to the board to discuss. And
so, yeah, if you have any questions, don't be afraid to contact any of these guys.
We would like to thank Shipshawana Harness and Supply in Shipshawana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshawanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshawana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
Anything else new, Mark?
Yeah, we had a conference call with the shows last week. I thought that went well. Pretty well received as far as a premium increase. We were still talking about that. Overall, I mean, almost every show was receptive to it, and I thought it should be an increase. All the work that everybody puts in to go on the road and things. And so, yeah, it was very well received, I thought.
Yeah, for sure.
And everything else is moving up and forward. And
yeah, I mean, it's still – the biggest concern on that call was a lot of the fairs were thinking we were starting in this summer already, and it's in still kind of the middle of the pandemic, but we're not starting it until next year. And, you know, we might have to wait another year just to see how long this gets drawn out with the pandemic and funding and – that kind of stuff. So, there really wasn't the only show that was on that was a little bit questionable about having a show, I would say, was the Royal. Other than that, every other show that called in thought, you know, they were all on board to have a show. And so that was very encouraging to hear from them.
Yeah, absolutely. So Larry, what are your thoughts on where the Classic Series is headed and your past experience and years on the board?
Well, yeah, I've been around since the thing started, the original day. I was sitting down there at Ocala, and it's just moving forward. Actually, it's going really fast now, but, you know, it has slowly worked its way. We got a lot of the kinks out. We've got really good board. We've had it, and we're in the process of changing, you know, as the 6-year term limits, you know, it helps to bring new people into the board that have new ideas, that do things different. And I'm really excited. We've got three new members, and then two of us are going off this year. So we'll have basically a whole new board. And the three that have come on are really awesome and have done a great job. And I think, you know, our future, we've got to work to get sponsorship to make it where, you know, we're not showing for nothing. We're doing for, you know, we're not going to be like NASCAR, I'm sure, but as far as getting that money up like that. Mm-hmm. But if we can at least make it so that the guy that's out there having a family hitch, you know, can make a little bit of money, that, you know, that's important. And, you know, and part of that is doing things like this, doing the you know, getting more sponsors, more different ways to increase the premium, getting the fairs to to help along too. And if you look at it, we have a lot actually shows like, well, Columbus, you know, what the Governor's Cup was like 25,000, 30,000. The Big East, 35,000 for one class, and Calgary. So slowly but surely, that money is increasing, and hopefully, you know, we can keep it going. And like with and different ideas, and that's one thing. We have a great membership out there. There's a million ideas. It's, you know, a board is five people that make a lot of times make the final decision or headed one direction. But the ideas don't necessarily come from us. The ideas come from the people out there that are saying, hey, what about this? Or we need to do this, or different ways to, you know, to do things. You know, and then when you do that and everybody starts working towards a goal, we can get it done and we can make this even better and better and better.
Absolutely. A lot of people chipping together. And like you said, it's everybody else's ideas. You guys just implement.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had several. We've I don't know how many times people would have a different idea, way to do points, way to do this or way to that. And, you know, and in the end, it's pretty much always worked out to be the advantage whenever the final decision came. Sometimes it's pretty easy, and sometimes there's a lot of different ways to, you know, to cut the apple, and so we just have to do what we think is best. So
yeah, well,
one thing about it, and this is a reason that everybody should be a member of the organization, because if you're a member, you get a vote. We vote on it pretty much everything, and so that, you know, it's people say, well, what do I pay my $50 for? Well, so that you can be part of the organization to drive this thing down the road, because you'll get a vote on everything. When with the system that we have with these votes, we can vote today and have the results in a couple of days, you know, electronically. So please join.
Yeah, so make sure if you know somebody that's not a member. Only $50. It's not
it's
that much.
It's only $50, you know. And there, you know, it's amazing.
Vote counts for
your
50
vote
bucks.
Does count, and I talk to people, and they'll say, I only go to one show, or I don't show, or what. I don't show anymore either, but I'll always be a member just because I care, you know. And people that sit there and, you know, are part of this, and they won't spend $50 to be a member, and shoot, I mean, you go out and take your wife out to eat, if you have a wife, or your girlfriend, you know, going to spend $50.
Yeah, easily. I'm gonna have to get that membership list from Abby, our secretary, because just curious on how many people sitting here around the table are paid members, you know. Be interesting to
I'm
see.
I'm sure everyone is. I don't know why they wouldn't. So anyway...
So, okay.
Times are tough, man. So, Larry, I know your job's not over yet, but I know on behalf of the Classic Series and everybody involved, we appreciate your hard work and all the years of what you've done. Your job's not done yet, but this is your last year on the board.
Yeah.
And so we appreciate you. And thanks
for being
here.
My job will never be done.
Right.
You know, because if you're part of something, you can't just quit. You just, you know... Your role may be less, but you still are working for the organization.
Yeah. Very good. Kevin, anything else you want to add here?
Just as a follow-up to what Larry said and what Mark had explained about the calls with the shows, I thought, Mark, you can comment on this too. I thought there was a tremendous amount of positivity from the shows that were glad to see that we were moving forward and bringing some ideas to them. I came out of that meeting with a lot of optimism going forward, talking to these directors of these shows, and moving forward, I think they recognize the importance that we bring to their events. Every single one of them, Mark, would you agree?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah,
one thing I do think that we're trying to do a better job of, and we are doing a pretty good job, is communication with the shows and with these conference calls and, you know, helping them out with any questions they have and stuff. And so, yeah, no, I thought the calls, thought it went really, really well last week.
Yep. It was.
No, other than that, it was, I thought we'd have some more shows on our afternoon call our evening call. The afternoon call was a real good group of individuals. And I just thought we'd have a little bit more shows packed in, but there's that in Canada, especially, I thought we'd have some more, but they just came out with some new restrictions for us. So that might've curbed a lot of guys' interest right at that moment. But I think there was a lot of positivity that came out of that. The Royal is wanting to move forward with a show at this point, that's their focus. Again, the government will hold the trump card as to if that's going to be allowed to go ahead. Calgary's going ahead with some kind of venue. Up here, I mean, we need some positive news. And I think coming out of that show, I think our members need to know that these shows are understanding of the situation we're in. And they want us to be there at the end of all this and want us to go back strong and show with them. So.
Yep. Just a few more things here. We'll wrap this up. The one thing to keep your eye out on the emails this week, the judge nominations are going to be sent out this week for the finals. So all members, please keep an eye out on your emails and get those nominations sent back in. And another thing is the Hall of Fame, Larry and I do that portion of this. And those are closing April 15th, which is on Thursday. So if you do have any nominations, please get them sent to Larry or I or anybody on the board for that matter. And we'll be sending that out for a vote as well here coming up in the next month or so.
All right. Awesome. A lot of good news. Things keep moving forward. So, well, thanks, Kevin, for joining us here. Mark and Larry for here at the opening for episode number 6. Enjoy the show today, folks. There's a purple haze in the air, so stay tuned.
We would also like to thank Penwoods Pertruns, specializing in ship-chilled semen. Once again, with a powerful stallion lineup here in 2021. If you have some mares at home that need bred, make sure you check them out. They have the Tripcrest Ladies Man Horse, Bellevue Crown Royal, Thunderhill Crosby, Recount, list goes on and on. Check them out on Facebook, or you can call them 814-364-9917 or 814-364-2183. Chad and Ron Nicole, Penwoods Pertruns.
All right, well, joining us in studio here today are the Hansbergers.
Yes.
Larry Hansberger, Jason, and Ross. Thank you so much for joining us. I sure do appreciate you guys coming on the show with us. So for new listeners or new people to the Classic Series or to the draft horse industry, introduce yourselves.
Well, my name is Larry Hansberger. I've been a draft horse exhibitor since 1957. I've been to other than last year, I've been to every Ohio State Fair since then. We've showed horses for all these years, and we do it with a family. We did it with a family, and I have two sons that you'll meet here in a second that are still keeping the family tradition up. And I'm basically a third generation. My grandfather, my father, and four uncles, they all showed urchin horses all over the country, and then actually now myself, and I have a first cousin, Beth Berger's. Yeah, she's my first cousin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she is. So, you know, we're keeping the family tradition going,
Your third generation and the fourth generation isn't doing too bad.
Nah, they're hanging in there. Yeah, the fourth generation, so we got to work on the fifth generation now. So.
There you go.
Well, I'm Jason Hansberger. I'm the oldest set of twins of Larry here. I'm 49 years old. I've been doing this professionally. I graduated from Ohio State on a Friday and headed to New York on a Sunday. And I've been working ever since 1994, doing this professionally, doing it mainly with Belgians and a little stint, a 5-year stint with some Clydesdales. But unfortunately, nobody's ever wanted to offer me a perching job, which I don't know why.
And you're currently working for?
And I'm currently working for Hammersmith Belgians in Defiance, Ohio. I've been there since 2004 and still going strong.
Very good.
And I'm Ross Hansberger, the youngest of the two sets of twins. Both of us have twin sisters. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but they're not really involved with the horses, but still come and watch us and cheer us on. But I've been showing horses since probably 2 months old. I went to my first horse show. Been showing Percherons pretty much all along with a little two-year stint with some Belgians. I worked for Lorab Belgians for one summer, and actually with my brother at Hammersmith's for one summer. And then showed for All-Star Farms for a number of years, and I'm currently managing the Jackson Fork Ranch Percherons. We show a hitch of mares and geldings combined, and been part of the Classic Series all the way back to when I used to show with my father with Lakeshore Farms. So, we're excited to be here and should be a fun show.
Lakeshore Percherons.
Yes, sir.
How did you get started?
Well,
you said you're third generation. Yeah. So your family has always had Percherons as
Always had Percheron horses. And
always at Grays?
Well, yes and no. Mostly? No. Mostly. Well, mixed. But my uncle Ralph, my dad actually showed horses. When he was 16, 17 years old, they went around the country in a train, and that's how they got from place to place. Of course, that was back in, 1920. So they traveled that way, and then he went to war, and he come back from there, and he went to work in a gas station. And so then I helped my uncles. My uncle Ralph had no children, so that was a good place to go. And I was such a good worker. My mother sent me down there every year. I helped them and my uncle Raymond and my uncle Paul because they were always looking for good help, and that. So that's how I got there. But then I went to come back to Ohio State and got out of there and bought my first horse of my own. And I used to show for a guy, Irvin Noss, an old bachelor in Gibsonburg, Ohio, had Percheron horses, and I just went from there, and of course, starting up, and then we had two kids, and there's 13 years difference between the boys and the girls, too. But, sire of twins, I am. But
when did the bread and the purple come in? Was that when you sired your second set of twins, or
no,
the first set of twins?
I always loved purple. I always did when I was
still
a kid.
Right?
Well, I still do. Yeah, I still do. And but I always wanted to. Well, when I got out of college, my first car was an old Checker cab. My dad had taxi cabs in Toledo and a gas station. And I had an old Checker cab that had 457,000 miles on it when I got it.
Was it yellow with the light on top?
No, it was green with black stripes, like Checkers, and not stripes, but Checkers. But I was the first kid in my class to have one, and it was a hell of a vehicle, buddy, but only go 55 miles an hour. But then I had another car, but my third car was another taxi cab, and I painted it purple, and it was just the coolest car. And
did you paint it by yourself?
Actually, yeah, I did. Well, yeah, not with a brush though. With
rattle cans,
aerosol can,
kind of that water. But anyway, then we just went from there, and then every vehicle I had after that was painted purple, and my color decorations were purple, and I used to make fun of my purple. I lived with that.
Underwear were purple.
Yeah, well, I had a purple underwear too. But yeah, and we let's see, where was I at? And this the purple. Well, then my wagons I painted purple and all that. But I was gonna say that they made fun of the purple, but
the color
now,
of champions. Now everybody
it's
wants to
champions.
Be purple.
Yeah, when you go to the fair. What do you get? If you have the best whatever, it's purple. And now I see a couple people I know, there's three big purple wagons out there now, so I don't look so dumb now, do I? I do. So anyways, so we get
look like that. A real trailblazer now.
Yeah, I always have been a trailblazer. But, we started out, and of course, like everybody else, when back in the 70s. Bought my first horse and had my first kid, and then, you know, we just started from there, and we had some pretty crappy equipment and going down the road.
Understatement.
Yeah.
you want to elaborate on the equipment, or?
Well, a lot of times our blue ribbon was making it to the show on time.
Or making it at all.
Or making it at all. Yes, it usually going to the shows, the challenge was getting there on time.
Yeah.
We had such a eventful trips to the shows that, I mean, as a 12, 13-year-old, I could change a tire like no tomorrow. And like we've one time went a whole year without having the windshield wipers work on the semi, but he would have rubber bands pulling it and a string pulling the windshield wiper back and forth so that, you know, because we didn't have maybe the money to be able to fix it. And but there are life memories that that are ingrained in you, and I wouldn't trade it my childhood.
If you're looking for high-quality, custom patent leather show harness, look no further than Shanahan Harness, located in Huntsville, Ohio, with over 50 years of harness-making experience. Call Dan Shanahan, 937-686-5202. Once again, Shanahan Harness, 937-686-5202, or visit them online at shanahanharness.com.
A lot of times when I was in my teenage years and I was becoming more of a horseman, a lot of times we would break down. And at that time, Ross and Carrie were young whippersnappers. And we, at that time, we had a big purple bus. Of course, it wasn't yellow. It was purple, which I painted, by the way.
You and Chad.
Yeah, that one got done with a brush.
Although, Chad Cole ended up blowing it up. Yeah. But that's another story. But if you ever want to know how he blew up the bus, just ask him. But, you know, a lot of times the bus didn't make it always to the shows, so it would break down. And usually my dad and myself would go to the show. We'd unload the horses, and then he would go back and fix or tow the bus or whatever, and he'd leave me there, and I'd be getting everything, you know, bedded and put away, and pretty soon, about 2 hours later, here comes Dad with my mom and the twins and big old purple bus. And in between the show, we would get it fixed and head to the next one. So it was usually a very eventful summer. You never knew what was coming around the corner. Yeah.
So what was the most shows you went to in a year?
Close most 30, I went to was 24. Now, these guys, I don't know how many.
They felt like 50.
Yeah. we had a few people that would show with us, they would come to, they wanted to hit Ohio and Indiana, and there was always like 10 days in between, and they thought they would maybe go with us on our show circuit while killing time. So they just didn't know that we hit three shows in that 10
days. One day.
And it pretty much wiped them out, and they said they'd never do that. They'd never return to do what our schedule was. But, yeah, it was it was a very very busy summer. We never usually had to practice at home once we started because we were always showing. Usually we were giving the horses time off in between shows because there wasn't much time off.
I just remember coming home at the end of the summer and the grass was about a foot high because it never got low. Because we would go from show to show, and my dad would drop my mom off with us kids and go to the show. He'd come back on show day. We'd show. he'd move us to the next fair, and he'd go back home and work and keep doing that all summer long. And for some reason, he never mowed the grass when he was home.
Well, I wasn't busy. But, you know,
it's delivering mail night and day.
You know, well, you know, between all the jobs that I had to try to keep it going. But that going back to that, the wipers, that's why I always have my rubbers with me.
You still do that?
I still have rubbers on my hand because you never know when you're going to need one. But that's why my left arm is bigger than my right arm. All the time, it was always seemed to be raining whenever. The worst part would be going through the scales, you know, because they didn't quite like that when they had to see the guy.
And honestly, to this day, I still have paranoia when I see scales, even though I have,
for the
almost brand new trucks a lot of times. Yeah. I still get those nightmares because, you know, he passed that.
They might know your pedigree.
Yeah, yeah.
Check the tires.
Check the tires.
Yeah, we went to Minnesota to the World Perching Congress. What
year 84.
Was it? 84. And I had a nice 32-foot gooseneck trailer. And going, we had 13 horses on the trailer. And so we're headed.
You say 32-foot.
32-foot, yeah.
And 13 horses?
13 horses, yeah. That's plenty of room.
Oh, that's, yeah, oh, absolutely,
plenty,
yeah.
Plenty of room.
There's probably room for a hay bale in there, too.
Yeah. We couldn't get two on the truck. They're still standing there. But anyways, we headed across and got right across the Ohio line into Indiana and blew a tire on the trailer. Well, before we got to Minneapolis, we blew 8 tires on that trailer. Yeah. And Jason and Joyce would drive these guys were just 2 years old. The younger ones were just 2 years
not
old.
Not in 80. No, it would have been 86, I guess.
No, 86. You were.
No, they were babies.
Born in 84.
You were just babies. Yeah.
You're in there.
Well, whatever. It's 80. Well, whatever year that was.
Infants in the back seat blowing tires.
Yeah. They were with my father-in-law, who didn't like me too much at that point in his life. I don't know if he really ever did.
Did he ever
like
come around?
Lot,
or yeah.
That was not the only show he ever last went time. To.
Well, that was his only show he ever went to. And him and I, and he had a brand new car, and we would take the tires, and I had more than one spare, and we'd take them, and we'd stop and go to a junkyard or someplace to try to get some tires, and then we'd take off to catch them, Joyce and Jason, and he'd have the sitting there waiting for us, you know, he had the tire off just to wait, and we'd throw another one on. And
did you say you went to a junkyard?
Well, yeah, back then you could get a lot of good tires out of the junkyard, So,
and let me preface this by saying there was no cell phones or anything back then. No. So we had the route, and as long as we stayed on the route, but if there was a missed turn,
they'd still be out there.
They would not know where we were at. We had to stick to the make sure you stayed on course. Yeah. And like you said, I would have the tire loose and ready to pull off.
Yeah.
And we were like NASCAR. He'd pull in with the car. The trunk was open with 2 tires sticking out of it.
Yeah.
We'd replace it, and away we go. And pretty much every 45 minutes to an hour, we blew a tire. And
the only thing that the good Lord looks out for you, because we made it all the way through Chicago without blowing a tire. Once we got through, we blew a few of them. But when we were out going through all that crap in Chicago, I mean, and just, please God, you know, we'd get us through here, and he did. But.
And you always found a junkyard for another tire.
Well, and then, and we did. But, it's just, you know, you just do what you got to do, and, you know, when you're starting out and, we did it. We survived all these years, and I guess we only ever had one bad wreck. That was trailer. I had a pickup truck, and Ross was 16 at that time, and we were headed up to the Michigan State Fair, and the hitch broke off.
No, the rear wheel tire blew again.
Oh, the tire blew. Yeah,
and I was driving.
Yeah, he was driving. I was in the semi with the horses,
and it blew. And all of a sudden, the camper just started swinging, and bang, it flipped on its side, crossed all the traffic. The Reese hitch broke completely in half.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And so here I am. The truck just slid and turned around and was heading backwards in traffic. So I'm up against the wall, head backwards in traffic, camper's on its side, and there goes Dad just flying down the highway ahead of me. And this was, I don't think I had a cell phone there. I'm not sure if I did or not.
No, you were dead in 16.
Yeah, I remember we finally, he finally turned around because he hadn't seen us for a while and come back, saw me on our side. And
then I had to go past him and turn around and come back with the truck, and then they wouldn't let The cops wouldn't let me come in. I said, that's my rig right there, you know.
The one on the side.
Oh, let's do it on the side. We just planned it that way. Yeah, not going out. Oh, jeez. How stupid. But anyways, then we made it to the fair. We called somebody.
Mike Stone actually was coming up to show his horses, and he stopped and drove the semi up. I rode with him, and then you stayed with the camper and got that scrapped out or whatever.
Yeah. So. We did scrap it out. Literally, we did, because it was no good.
But. Yeah.
The Redrive is also brought to you by our friends at Topeka Draft Horse Auction, owned by Rick and Andrea Welsh, with three great sales to choose from with the Spring Topeka Draft Horse Sale, also the Seymour Sale coming up June 3rd through the 5th, and the Fall Topeka Draft Horse Sale October 25th through the 29th. If you have horses that you'd like to sell at the Seymour Sale, the deadline is April 30th. Make sure you call the office with your consignment, 260-593-2522. Once again, 260-593-2522, or visit them on their website, topekalivestock.com, or follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction.
What was the Mark you were telling me earlier about somebody didn't want to let you leave a fair one time because
Bill Wickard. Willie Wong, we used to call him. We were in Norwalk Fair. It was my first truck, and it was a one-ton dually, and I had I'd bought it from a furniture store and painted it all purple and stuff, and then I put four things coming up to I could haul 24 bales of hay and straw on top of the truck. And I had the trailer behind, and then I had another trailer behind it. So, and he called the cops on me. He says that I shouldn't be driving that down the road. But he said, "See you later." And we went off, and we got to where we were going. You know, every time you'd put down the brakes, the thing would go screech, 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 across the top. And
how many horses did you haul?
I'm sure it was safe.
Well, I could only put 7 in that trailer. Yeah.
Tell them about the time that you lost the card in the cattails.
Oh, yeah. I'd been up to Monroe Fair, and I had to go home, go to work, and we had taken another cart up for, I actually had borrowed the cart Luann. What's it?
Sheehan's.
Sheehan's. And so we had borrowed the cart so we could hook two carts. And I was going home, and I didn't tie it down. It was kind of my mistake, I guess. But it was in there.
That's
with
minor.
The prongs heading forward.
Shafts. He's been out of it for a while.
Yeah, you have a prong on your cart? No, I have shafts. Okay. But I was going, and I hit 75, and as I turned up there, I give her the gas. And all of a sudden, whoof, it was like midnight. And this cart is gone, and I could see sparks on the road behind me. And I'm going, what the hell? And so I turn around and look, and the cart's gone. So I go, son of a pup. So then, you know, where did it go?
Right.
Midnight.
That's a great question.
Yeah, where did it go?
Where's my cart that I didn't tie down?
And luckily, it didn't hit nothing that I know of because there was no wreck behind me. Well, then you got to turn around and go back and look for it, and then trying to remember where it actually went off, you know, until you realized it. And So I go down to the next exit, turn around, come back, go back to the next exit, come back and thinking, okay, this is where I came onto here. And where was it? Where was it? And I could not find it. And I mean, I was thinking, oh shoot, I'm going to have to try to come back in the daylight and try to find this thing. Well, a long route, and I just happened to, and it was just wood colored. It wasn't painted red or anything. Pretty. And anyways, like yeah, no purple. Oh no, I would have tied that one down. Anyways, here I just saw one wheel in these cattails. Well, you know, cattails don't grow on deserts. They grow in, they grow in water.
Really wet.
Really wet stuff. And I mean, I don't know, where that is. I don't have a flashlight or nothing, you know. And so I backed the car up and tried to get, well, then trying to get it out. So I get it. I finally got it out of there. I mean, you got all wet doing it, but I got it, pulled it out backward, you know, because it could see the wheels. Well, now I got to get it on the trailer. Now you would think, or on the back of the
car.
Nobody stopped to help me. Not one stinking person. Luckily, I work out a lot, and I was able to pick it up and set it on the back, and you know, do that, and then I tied it down. And
Taylor twine, or what'd you use?
Yeah, what else would you
use? Rubber bands.
Yeah, tarp straps and rubber bands. Yeah, no, but yeah, I. Oh my God, that was terrible. But we made it home. You know, we always made her back. Always made her where we were going. That's one thing about it. And had some pretty, you know, actually Jim Mills always wanted me to come over to his show that he had in Marshall, Indiana, or Marshall, Illinois. I kept telling him, I said, Jim, I says, my truck won't make it there. Oh yeah. I said, No. And a couple of years he did that. So finally I said, all right, I'm coming. And we went over there. What about you?
Yeah, I was with you.
Too. Yeah, you were. We got right to the exit. Right to the exit where we got off, and the thing stopped. It's a semi, and water shooting everywhere. It's like, son of a pup, you know. I have to clean this up for TV here.
Hey, we're not on TV,
the radio, whatever. So. I got towed off, and we got the horses unloaded and that, and he had a mechanic and stuff. Well, shoot, all this had to be done to the thing.
Blew the head gasket.
Yeah. So we had no way to get home. We got to the fair. We had no way to get home. So he ended up, you know, flying me home to get a truck from my neighbor so that I could come back and take the horses and stuff home.
But you were true to your word. You told him your truck wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, I don't lie very often.
No.
But, you know, I didn't say ever, but. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty unbelievable, but we got home. Again, we got home. I had to buy a truck, but, you know, and that truck is still out there in Illinois.
Oh, the one that broke.
Yeah. Well, it cost more to fix it than what it would.
You think somebody scrapped it by now, or is it still sitting beside the road? Or
well, no, it went to the guy's place. So I mean, we didn't leave it alongside the road.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So we just it's always been an adventure.
So. Survival
tires. Yeah. Well, we went to Calgary. That was the year when we really met Nick Wagner. And we took
his truck and our trailer.
Yeah. Our,
two of his horses and six or so
and our six yeah. And went to Calgary to the Congress out there.
That was in
98. That's when Goat, my cousin Goat, everybody mm-hmm. knows Goat, and Nick got to be buddies because they were the truckers, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I rode with, when you rode in there, you and, oh, Heiser's.
Mark Heiser?
No.
Justin Hilly.
Justin Hilly. You and Justin Hilly got there.
Broke our world record, right?
Yeah.
We had, 13 tires on the way there?
We had
10 in our original one because we blew two on the way back.
Yeah.
We had 10.
Yeah, but these were truck trailer tires. These weren't, you know, off of a gooseneck. They were big suckers. I bought all of them. Well, they were 15 inches. And so I bought all of them in Canada across as we go. You know, we did that. And then coming back, we blew some more. And we what had happened, the trailer.
The axle was out of alignment.
Yeah. It, you know what dog tracking is on a trailer?
Yeah.
It was dog tracking. So all this time, it was just scuffing the tires all the way. And that's why I had blew so many tires in there. But so when we got into Manitoba, we were traveling with Knapps, and Bill knew how to kind of line that up, and he lined it up, and, you know, that thing.
We drove for a while with two, well, with an just, axle chained up.
Yeah,
we only had four tires on the trailer. That's not a joke.
And it was still dog tracking, but at least it wasn't stuck.
Yeah, this wasn't rubbing.
It was going down the road.
We weren't blowing those tires. No. The chain never blew.
No wonder you got nervous going across the scales.
Exactly.
Yeah.
13 tires, you said, that trip.
Well, the wheelbarrow tire was flat when we got there, too.
Yeah. That's bad when your wheelbarrow tire goes flat, too.
Yeah, that's real bad.
But we did finally figure out on that trailer what caused it. Well, I actually knew on the other, too. The axle was bent, got it fixed in Minnesota.
Probably with the 13 horses on it. It might have been overloaded.
Overloaded is overrated. we made it.
Our sponsor, J.W. Scutt, is North America's leading source for your new custom-built show wagons, used hitch wagons, and practice wagons as well. Located in the rolling hills of West Michigan, we have been an industry leader and family-owned and operated for many decades. Follow us on Facebook at J.W. Scutt Custom Wagons or call the shop at 269-793-0058.
But you guys started driving. How old were you, Jason, when you drove your first six?
The first six in competition, I was 16. The one thing, Dad was, we were very lucky that he always gave us the opportunity to drive. As soon as we could do something, no matter what, because I think, you know, it's that work ethic, you know, thing he said.
Yeah, trying to make a better man out of it.
Trying to pass it down that as soon as we were able to do something, we were usually given the opportunity. I was showing halter horses. Back then, we would take about 12 halter horses. We'd show in everything. We actually, you know, nowadays, nobody shows the groups or they wussy out of it. Shoot, we used to take two in every
group.
Because that was $5 to $10 worth going towards the tire fund.
Yeah, I remember showing group classes, and they weren't even related, but somehow they were in the Get a Sire together. Well, we got to make an extra $20. Yeah.
You know, and
we had two in every one of them.
And fortunately, you know, myself and Ross, we were given early opportunities. You know, yeah, we maybe took some lumps, that maybe he would have gotten a little more out of them, maybe for 1 year, better than us.
What year was that?
But, you know, he was always one, and if you ever saw him drive, you know, Dad does a good job, but he worries about what everybody else is doing. So half the time, you know, and he did pass it down to his younger son the one time because it cost him in the eighth the one time when I beat him at the Can-Am. As my horse, I was driving professionally for Owl Creek at the time, and I was coming across the reverse, and my one-wheel horse kind of bounced, and Ross is, like, looking at me thinking he's going to beat me, and he forgot to turn, and the lead barrier hit the wall. And, oh,
that's
man.
Not exactly how it went.
And
there was a lot of cussing and screaming over $1,500, yeah. I can tell you that much.
You moron, I think there was, but... But you know, he always enjoyed watching, and so as soon as he was able to, you know, have trust in us that you know, we could do it, then you know, he pretty much gave us the reins, and we rode, you know, with the lumps that we would get, but in the end, it ended up, you know, we became
You become a pretty good driver when you drive 30 times a year at every county fair in every single class. And I can remember when Kyle Love started with him after I was gone and started the year, he was just wasn't getting it done, couldn't drive hardly. By the end of the year, after 20 shows, he was a great driver and went on to become a very good driver. Yeah. So it's,
opportunity can lead to great things. And like I say, we were blessed. You know, there's some family hitches that, a lot of times the father wouldn't really give their sons that opportunity. And, he was just different. They would, as soon as we were able to, whether it was myself, my sister, Ross, and his sister, and my sister, but my younger sister.
That would also be your sister.
Yes, yes. But we pretty much, what we could handle, we were given. And sometimes what we couldn't even handle, we were still given. But, it's what made us what we are today. And I guess the skills that maybe we have today were developed at that point.
And there's, you said there's 13 years in between the two of you. So when you were moving on professionally, you were starting to drive.
Yes.
Pretty much, right? I mean, because
there were some guys in between us, like Eric Guyman, he worked for me when he left, and he wasn't quite big enough to take over.
Ross, how old were you?
I was six.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
You were six.
Said I wasn't big enough to take her. I was 6 years old.
The next year.
Once again, I'm right.
But you've had a lot of people throughout the years that worked for you and kind of that actually started in the industry through you. That went through the Hans University.
Well, there's one thing about him. He would take any help he could get anywhere, especially if he didn't have to pay for it. And we had a lot of people growing up that would come help. You didn't know who they were or where they come from, and all of a sudden they'd be helping you, and you think, who the heck is this guy?
Ross called them
people
carnies.
Ross
used to call them my carnies.
But people that were eager to learn, and most of those are still in the industry to this day, sure.
Still,
they
still come around. They still do. They didn't forget their opportunity that they got.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, Eric and Kyle and hell, we had Goat. Goat became one of the greatest drivers of all time. And poor Goat.
Well, and once you spend so much time with, it becomes family.
Yeah.
And
Kelly was, lived across the street, and she was there. She was, she's a little bit older than you are. But
yeah, probably 5 years.
But she helped us for years. So, it's been a great time. But, we've had a lot of fun, and we're not done having
always fun
yet.
With the year round.
I seem to recall you one time
I was a carny one time.
You were a carny. That's what I remember.
I was one of the last.
Yeah, you were one of the last.
I was probably the last, actually.
Put
you,
out of
you and Evan. Evan. Well, Evan was the last.
After that, you decided
usually
to hang it
you
up.
Do usually stop things with Evan.
If you couldn't find better help than that, you were like, I'm done. Yeah. Done with these two.
Drives the horses through the camper.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was actually Kyle Hood. Yeah. Brand new camper. Jeez. Oh, gosh.
That's a whole different story there.
That wasn't these two guys. That was Kyle. He had the wheel pair hooked it was a brand new camper. It was sitting in the yard, and they were broke. I mean, the horses but they put the tongue through the back of the camper. That wasn't good.
That was a bad day.
It was a bad day. So.
Tell them the story about Script, Ohio, Jason.
This is one of the great moments. Of course, we always tried to get in driving competitions, because there was money to be had.
$20.
Yeah, and most of the guys they didn't want to get beat, so they would never, they wouldn't get in it.
And back then, we did not have very good horses, so we had to rely on driving ability over horsepower.
But we ended up, I was in the guard for 28 years, you know, and I was a battalion commander, and I had to go to a unit in Youngstown. So on the way back from Youngstown, you know, I'm listening to the radio, and the Buckeyes were playing, and so they, you know, they do, you know what Script Ohio mm-hmm. is, you know, when the band does that and writes Ohio out. So I, in my own mind, I figured out how to do this. But I didn't know if I would make it back in time. So I'm driving like a wild man to get back to Detroit because they were going to do the
at the Michigan Great Lakes International.
It was at the Great Lakes. Yeah, and we went there for three different fairs. So I don't remember. But yeah, anyways. So I had this planned out, and that he would come in and he would make the loop around and then do the O, then come in, stop him, back him up, go around for the H, and then go around to the O. And
what about the I?
And then, or for the I, yeah, though. Yeah, you have, oh.
Oh, I guess it's a good thing I drove because he would have
been like, oh, shoot, how do you spell this? Let me start over.
Yeah. And so then did the O. And then, and I had written this out for the announcer, by the way, so that that people knew what he was doing. And then he said, and no Script Ohio would be complete without dotting the I. And he went, luckily, the gate was in the middle.
On the side.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the middle of the. And right there, right where the eye was, and he swung them suckers around, and out the gate he went. And the crowd went wild. I went wild, you know, because my wagon made it through. Because you know, when you do
didn't
that,
have to get the spray paint
you have to get, you know, you have to hit it just right, you know, to go out of the thing, and then out he went. But that was a pretty awesome. And there are a lot of people will tell you that the older people that were around, they remember that because that was
a lot of people honestly. When, like, we show at Lansing, now that that's Michigan Great Lakes International, they'll come up to me, and that was back in 1989, they'll come up to, I remember when you drove, you know, and did Script Ohio, and, like I say, it's 30-some years ago, and it was, at the time, I was actually waiting, and for the people that, you know, used to remember the old Detroit fairgrounds, like, I was waiting in the big dairy pavilion waiting
hitch barn, right?
The hitch barn waiting to go in, and here comes Dad running, and he's got it on an old envelope, and he's telling me this, and I was going to go in, do a figure eight, or you know, swing him, dock him, whatever, and he's, oh, I got this great idea, and so he shows it to me. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll try it. So luckily I know how to spell Ohio. And so he goes, runs in and tells the organist. So I went in, and honestly, it couldn't have went any better. The eye was just perfectly right at that doorway. And there again, the ring was perfectly set up so that mm-hmm. when you dotted the eye, you know, you pretty much spin the top twice, and he was at the door and at the gates, and they opened them up right as I was finishing the second spin, and the hitch went right out, and I still got the video today, and he's jumping up. That's the most vertical leap I ever seen out of him.
All 2 inches of it.
Yeah, I think he got three that day. But I mean, he was so pumped up, and it was honestly one of my probably highlights of my, you know, showing career was that day. And I've had some, you know, good career victories and that, but that really is one of the most memorable of what people remember me for.
Right. Yeah. Did the organist play the fight song while you were
there?
We had it set up. It was awesome.
It was a production.
It was.
Yeah.
Not as good as this, but it was. Yeah.
We didn't have this technology.
Yeah.
The Young Living Pertrons, the equine ambassadors for Young Living Essential Oils, are brought to you from their global headquarters in northern Utah. Whether online or in the hitch, these horses are a powerful representation of the company's commitment to providing essential oils of the highest quality to families across the globe. These world champion Pertrons represent Young Living's founder, Gary Young's continuous pursuit of excellence. You can visit these mighty Pertrons 6 days a week at their home, the iconic Young Living Lavender Farm in Mona, Utah. You can also see them in action as they compete year-round across the United States at fairs and stock shows, including Young Living's annual Falls Festival and Draft Horse Show.
So when did you start your first time driving six in the ring?
I don't know when my first time, probably around 14. I remember my first time I drove an eight was before I could drive a car. I think I was 15 at Lansing is when I drove an 8. But I don't remember exactly when I started driving 6. But my, honestly, him talking about, you know, that being one of his biggest moments in his career, mine's kind of similar, was when I was actually 6 years old was the first time I drove a team in a class. And it was at the Ohio State Fair. And I remember the ages were 21 and under, and there was somebody in there in the class 19, that was 19 years old. And here I was 6, and Jason was riding me, and I couldn't even reach the footboard, so we had to put a cooler on the footboard so that I could reach. And so I drove the class, and I remember Davey Adams was the judge, and he thought I did a good job, but he thought, oh, I'm not going to let this cute little kid win or whatever. So he made us do a figure
eight. You said you were cute.
You were cute back then?
We had to do, he made us do a figure eight. I didn't know what a figure eight was. I mean, heck, I was 6. Didn't even know what an eight was.
Yeah,
and
he was
so we're sitting there. Luckily, we didn't go first. So it's kind of like Dad explaining to him about the script Ohio. Here, Jason's telling me how you're going to do the eight and this and that. And just listen to me. I'll tell you when to turn, blah, blah, blah. And so I went out there and just listened to what he said and did my figure eight and lined up and they start announcing the placings, and they must have started first because they announced my number first, and I just sitting there like a dumb little kid, and he's like, that's you, hit me. So that was, I saw the picture in my house, but I always thought that was one of the coolest accomplishments in my life is to be 6 years old. My son's turning 6 this year, and I can't even imagine him driving a team that age. He can hardly focus long enough to do it. So, but that was, you know, my childhood was growing up was, you know, driving with Jason. You know, I kind of idolized him, and we'd drive horses and he'd drive them. And then at the end, he'd let me drive for a little bit. And that's kind of how, you know, I started learning how to do it. But I do remember, I don't know if I was 9 or so, we were at a county fair and we showed all day.
Putnam County.
Yeah, showed all day long, you know, how it is. And the 6 is last. And I don't know if we won the 6 or not, but I was riding with Jason, and he handed me the lines over, and that was back in the days when you showed on the track. So when we hooked in the middle in the infield, and so I'm driving him back, and you had to make the tight turn to go on the track to get off the track. And he's like, "Oh, here, I'll take him back." I got it. And sure enough, snaked him off there and got in the middle of the infield. But that was the first time I remember driving at a show just after the class was over. But it was. Like Jason said, it was the opportunities that we got, you know, to do that. A lot of kids, you know, all they drive is youth classes or whatever. But I know with I think I showed till I was 10, maybe 12, and then my sister started showing the youth classes. So I think I started driving the open classes probably when I was 10 to 12 years old around that, you know, team and four and stuff like that.
Well, you couldn't at Indiana, you couldn't drive. By the time you were old enough to drive in the classes, you were driving in the open
classes.
In the open classes.
So,
and Larry, one of your highlights has to be at the Classic Series Finals in 2018.
17.
Oh. Was it 17?
No,
It was 17, 18.
Both of your sons were Grand and Reserve Champions standing center ring. That has to be had to be one of your highlights a year.
And I got a picture at home. It's 10 feet or something like that.
The both hitches going head to head.
Because after it happened, we had, we knew he was going to win just from the placings because at that time we were, you know, we knew ahead of time where they're at, but he should have been second, but you never know. And anyways, he was. So it made it an awesome picture of the two of them and brought him back into the, and then got his mother, got Joyce, and her and I stood in between.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a cool moment. I thought I was sitting in there watching you guys take those pictures, and I thought that.
Well, and like I say, the Script Ohio was one of my greatest. Mm-hmm. That was my greatest. Mm-hmm. I didn't win, but it was pretty much winning. You know, Ross, I mean, there's 13 years apart. Like, he's obviously he's my brother, but a lot of times we almost had a father son type relationship because, you know, he couldn't handle playing basketball with me when he was lower.
Let's not get carried away here.
Younger and all that other stuff. But, you know, there was always more of a teaching, you know, and trying to, you know, be a role model to him. And so you always hope, you know, just like dad, you always hope that your son does better than you. You know, that's always, to me, it should always be the goal is your children do better than what you do. And that's what I, you know, I think, like I say, my dad, I think, takes great pride in us. And obviously, I think we're better drivers than him. And I think he would admit it. He don't admit a lot.
I admit it, but you had a lot more opportunity than I had.
And
you do it every day, so you should be.
Well, that's true. I suppose you're right.
Yeah. Once again, you know, as a father, one.
But some people can drive them all day, and they still aren't very good at it. So,
but as a father, one thing you just hope that you know your life is not incomplete, but you hope that someday your children will say, you know, Dad, you're not really as dumb as we thought you were. Because when they go through things in life as they have children of their own, they'll realize that, you know, it isn't – everything doesn't just fall into place.
Right. And that day, first and second, everybody was a winner that day.
Oh, it was. You know. It was a special moment. Like, it was – for Hammersmiths, I mean, we were – elated that, you know, we place that. And then, like you say, with Ross and for them and the Dingman family and the Wagner family, like
there's a lot of things.
It was a dream come true, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, or not many things that, not many people that have never been done before. And I don't know that it ever will be done again to have two brothers first and second, and obviously hasn't been. I mean, just to have things fall in line, to have two brothers, to have two competitive hitches, to put it together for that three nights.
Like, first of all, just to make the finals, to be in the top 12 is
crazy. I mean, there's only a few siblings that can do that, but that's, I guess, what makes it more special than anything is to do it that way.
And Deb bought me the picture. It hangs in my office.
All three of us have that picture hanging in our house somewhere.
Yeah,
that was a neat day for sure.
The Redrive is also brought to you by our friends at Topeka Draft Horse Auction, owned by Rick and Andrea Welsh, with three great sales to choose from with the Spring Topeka Draft Horse Sale, also the Seymour Sale coming up June 3rd through the 5th, and the Fall Topeka Draft Horse Sale October 25th through the 29th. If you have horses that you'd like to sell at the Seymour Sale, the deadline is April 30th. Make sure you call the office with your consignment, 260-593-2522. Once again, 260-593-2522, or visit them on their website, topekalivestock.com, or follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction.
So, Larry, you're retired from postman. You're retired, correct?
No, I'm retired from the post office, from the Army.
Hitch driving.
What are you doing with yourself nowadays? Still selling Penwoods?
Just selling Penwood and golfing a lot. And
very good.
Whatever, you know, I ring man, you know, if we have
quite a few shows.
Shows and judge a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just that's what I do.
Awesome. Very good. And Jason, you guys are spring training's in full swing.
Spring training is in full effect.
And you got a few new horses this year, so that's probably exciting.
We got a few new. Hopefully we can come out better than ever, and we're really excited to give her another whirl.
And Same way with you, Ross. Things are...
Yeah, going good. Looking forward to hopefully trying to make the finals. I think we're sitting in the top four right now, so that's kind of our goal for the year, to try to get back to the finals. You know, it's going to be a tough chase, but trying to find out if some of these shows are going or not going or whatever, and trying to figure out the schedule for that. But, yeah, we're getting started here. We did some shows this winter and gave them a good break, and we're kind of getting back at it now, so...
Well, once again, thanks for being on the show. Is there anything you want to add, Larry, before we go? Any wise words of wisdom?
Yeah. Don't bet on the Tigers because they suck.
And go Buckeyes.
Yeah, go Buckeyes.
All right, exactly. Sounds good. Yeah, thank you, guys. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. God, they do suck, too.
We would like to thank Shipshawana Harness and Supply in Shipshawana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, shipshawanaharness.com, follow them on Facebook, or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshawana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you drop by our Reinhold Tack and Western Wear mailbag. It's podcast@naclassicseries.com. Send us an email. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. podcast@naclassicseries.com. And we'll see you down the road.